Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
For the quarterfinals are set and the other spots will be determined later today. Welcome to TC Live, where we lead you up to first ball every day at the BNP Paribas Open. On a hump day in the desert, who can get over the proverbial mountain to continue their quest for glory in tennis paradise? A lot to discuss over the next hour. Young Guns Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner remain on a collision course to meet in the semifinals Saturday. So who's looking better to go all the way? Plus, fresh off the upset of the year, another Italian still living the dream. Luca Nardi finds himself facing American Tommy Paul today for a spot in the final eight. We started with seven mamas in the singles draw. Now it's just a single one left. What Caroline Wozniacki did for the first time in 7 years. And is it a compliment or a slight? Who's the best women's player who has not won a major? Our experts have all the answers on TC Live. Let's look at our featured matches on this Wednesday. We've got Aryna Sabalenka taking on the American Emma Navarro. Happy birthday, Coco Gauff. She plays Elisa Mertens as a 20-year-old. Grigor Dimitrov won 2 of 3 against Daniil Medvedev last year. And then the 2022 champ, Taylor Fritz, taking on Holger Rune later tonight. Fritzy out on the practice area right now with his coach, Mike Russell, in the foreground. Looking for his fourth straight quarterfinal in the desert. That includes his first Masters title a couple of years ago. Feels right at home here. And we mentioned the birthday girl, Coco Gauff, back in action today. No longer a teenager, looking to celebrate her 20th anniversary of life with her second straight trip to the quarterfinals here. We are celebrating as well. You can find us behind those glass windows inside Stadium 1. And it's a special day on TC Live because Steve Weissman, Prakash Amitraj, we've got the GOAT in the house, Martina Navratilova, joining us. It is great to see you, Marty.
I'm so happy to be here. How I missed feeling? Last year, and I feel great. Thank you. Great to be here.
That's fantastic.
Got a good welcome.
All the time, Martina. And by the way, Martina, the only back-to-back women's champ here in the desert. It's never been done before. Take a look at that.
Well, that picture looks more like Andre Agassi, but it's okay. My nose is smaller, so I'll take it. But yeah, I'll live another year or two because, it hasn't happened since then, which is crazy. But that's just luck of the draw, I guess. Anyhow, I'll take it.
What do you remember about those wins back in 1991?
I don't remember Suková at all, but I remember Monica Seles because it was at the old Sonny Bono Club, and it was really, really slow court. And it had rained all week long. We finally started playing on Thursday. So I played singles and doubles, and I won that match. So it was pretty old to beat Monica at that stage. So I was very happy.
You know, I miss those. Contrasting, you know, you had the perfect serve and volley. You had the huge baseliner from the back. You know, I miss those matchups. Yeah. That must have been a special one.
And I don't even know if it's on TV anywhere. I don't know. That's the beauty of it now. We have all the records of the players. You get to watch anybody if you want to. But, I don't know. But it was a big win for me at that age, and especially.
That's massive. Marty, by the way, I'm actually so happy you're here. I can ask in front of everyone out there. You know, there is a mixed doubles tournament here going on, and I've tried with various partners, and they just won't let me in the event. So maybe if we sign up together, we'll have a shot at getting it. That's my only hope, play with the GOAT.
I'm so happy to hear they're doing that. Yeah. It's cool.
10 mixed doubles Grand Slams to your name. Maybe you get an Indian Wells one with P over there.
Between the two of us, we have 10.
Yeah, 10.
Okay. Between the three of us, we've got 10.
Never played with that Amitraj, so maybe it's time.
Ooh. Come on, Marty. Come on.
I'm going to play with your dad, but I'll play with you.
There you go. I'd love that.
Since there's no points or whatever, Tommy Haas, I mean, maybe you just get in there. It's not like...
Bring in a big crowd. You put Martina out there.
That's
just
right.
Saying. I'm just saying.
Legends with the regular players.
I need new wheels.
We'll talk more about that later. But let's get to the highlights from yesterday. The action last night. Yannick Sinner looking to stay undefeated this season, facing Ben Shelton, one of only two players to beat him, Prakash, since the U.S. Open last year.
Check this out. What a point to be able to come up with. Down set point on Sinner's serve. Sheldon did a great job staying tight, fighting all the way through here in this first set. Some massive pace there with the forehand. It was kind of the only way to get it done, because if you don't bring that kind of pace and you let Sinner into the point, he is just too good. Some brilliant points here from both guys, but it was just that defense of Sinner early in the breaker that gave him that early advantage. 4-1 up, Shelton still fighting, but when you have Sinner on top of the baseline, it's a tough task. Again, it was that pace that was able to get him out of it. At the end of the day, it just wasn't enough. That was the first serve there from Shelton that Sinner was able to return back quite easily. He kept Ben to 57% points won on his first serve. That is low for a guy like Ben, who has such a massive first serve. Sinner was able to put away that first set. But as soon as he was able to get that crack, started running away in that second set. Broke early, here going for a second break. Shelton doing his best to attack, but that defensive Sinner, 1-2 punch, get the first one, able to counter, hit the passing shot on the second one, serves it out comfortably, separated himself big time in that second set.
That's 18 straight wins, his 150th hardcore tour level win. First player born in the 2000s to reach that milestone. Let's see what else he's been able to accomplish. Australian Open champ this year. 10-1 against top five players since Wimbledon, 35-2 overall since the U.S. Open. 4 titles in his last 7 events. Joins Stefan Edberg as the second player under 23 years old to start a season with 15 straight wins, Martina. What stood out to you about that performance from Jannik Sinner?
He's just gotten so much better in every aspect of the game. His return is amazing. To win that many points off of Ben Shelton's first serve, it's ridiculous. And his transition to the net, I mean, he's just really worked on every aspect of the game. He's thinking long-term, not short-term. And I love it, because it maybe the payoff is a little bit slower, but it pays off in the long term. And it's really, he's such a good athlete, as we know. And now he's a student of the game and got a great coach. So great combination.
Well, there's no arguing with those stats that we saw over the last 6 months. The kid has been absolutely exceptional out there. But even yesterday's match, you're going to get every single player coming against you is going to try to play the hottest tennis they can to try to take you out. But he just stayed there. He stayed there with Ben as long as Ben was firing away and just kind of stayed right there. And then as soon as he edged away after that breaker, he really separated himself in that second. He's going to show, just like against Novak Djokovic, against Carlos Alcaraz, it's so tough to keep it up over the course of 2 out of 3 sets. You can play a great set, but can you really keep it up all the way? That's making him just absolutely brutal. You don't know where to look.
What does Ben Shelton take out of this match in this tournament, Prakash?
Well, I think Ben takes out the fact, he grinded out a couple of matches. Even that match with Cerundolo, where he was able to just kind of show a lot of guts, a lot of heart, and be able to pull through, that's huge for Ben. Because you can't always kind of fire 150-mile-an-hour serves, play exceptional tennis, and come through. So winning when you're not playing your best, huge for him. But as far as this, it shows him that he has the weapons to be able to hurt the best in the world. So the question is, pulling the trigger at the right moments, finding the right shot selection, and just kind of waiting for the right moments to be able to do it so you can do it over the course of 2 out of 3 sets. I think that's the key. But he should know that he has it within him.
Nobody's beaten Jannik Sinner this year. It's a tough task. He's won 9 straight against the top 20 as well. He is into the quarterfinals. Meantime, we had a couple top 10 players meeting before the quarterfinal stage for the second time this year, Martina. Alexander Zverev, Alex Deminor, rematch from the United Cup.
Yeah, and Deminor won the tournament a couple weeks ago in San Diego. His confidence is riding high, and he had his chances, but his serve let him down. Won the first set, got through that one, as he forced some errors from Zverev, but not getting enough first serves in, and also weak on the break, on the big points, the break points. Sasha Zverev just played those points so much better. It's a crazy point there. Drop shot, lead court. And Zverev gets the second break here in the second set. Third set, Deminor had 3 break points, did not get any of them. Zverev, very opportunistic, 1 of 2, and that was the difference, just the big points. Such a small margin of difference, but that's where Zverev has gotten so much better. So much better at the net than he used to be. He was allergic to the net. Now he's very adept there, looking to come forward, and it paid off for him nicely.
Certainly did, and he served well when facing those break points. Alexander Zverev, 50th top 10 win, 7th over the Aussie, and explains the comeback.
You're down a set and a break. You got to figure it out. If you're going to continue playing the way you're playing, you're going to be off the court in about 20 minutes time. So obviously, I did have to figure some things out. I had to play differently from both sides, from both ends of the court. And just managing. I managed well today.
All right, let's take a look at the draw. Half the quarterfinals in the bottom half. We've got Yuri Lehechka taking on Jannik Sinner, and then Sasha Zverev and Carlos Alcaraz. 5-3 Zverev head-to-head, including the Australian Open this year. Meantime, to the women we go. World number one Iga Swiatek continuing to cruise through the draw. No bagels against Yulia Putintseva Prakash, but well, we had a breadstick in there.
We certainly did. Just a little bit of a difference between a heavyweight out there and a lightweight. Just too much pace, too much big, big tennis from Iga Swiatek. Putintseva just not enough on the ball. And Iga kind of was allowed to pick very big targets out there, just kind of take her time, pick and choose the right moments to be able to go for the shots. And when she's picking big targets and going backhand at the line, backhand cross court, finding the angles on both sides, she's just never going to really feel threatened. You really need that kind of power to be able to threaten her. Even when she's pushed back a little bit, check that out. So smart, finding her way back into the court and then picking a big target to finish the point. She's so smart out there with choosing when to go for those big shots. We were just talking about Ben Shelton, similar strategy that Ben can kind of take into his game a little bit. But at the end of the day, giving up only three games, never really being threatened, exactly how she wants to move into the business end of this event.
More than four times the winner, 17-4, into her third straight quarterfinal here in the desert, looking for her second title. How about a couple friends who've known each other since before they were 10 years old, Martina? Now moms on the comeback, meeting for the 16th time. It's Kerber and Wozniacki.
Yeah, they both speak Polish. Neither one lives there. And both moms, so a lot to share. But Wozniacki was, they're both kind of counter-punchers. And Wozniacki was the one that took more chances, opened up the court, was much more proactive, and it paid off for her. As Kerber served, just not winning enough points on her first serve or the second serve. And Wozniacki being much more, again, aggressive, moving to the net and moving Kerber around. Kerber just didn't have enough pace on her shots. Wozniacki wins the first set, and then the second one was even a bit easier. As Caroline just solid, the usual, but again, was looking for the openings a little more. And I think that's what she needs to do in her next matches as well.
Came down, was 8-7 down in the head-to-head, looking to even it up at 8 apiece. Medical timeout there for Angie Kerber.
Yeah, Kerber had a little bit of a tweak on her back, but I think she's all right. But yeah, not maybe that bothered her, that couldn't get enough pace on her shots, and at the end won an easy match.
Afterward, Wozniacki asked about playing sports with her husband, David Lee.
You are married to an NBA champion. So if we gave him a racket and you had to play a tiebreak, no serves, just feeding the ball, or you had to play a game of horse, who is more likely to win the other one's sport? I'm curious to know.
I'm terrible at basketball, so and he's 6'9", so maybe he could get one serve in, but if he's not playing with serves, I think neither of us have any chance at each other's sports.
Look, he's like, give me on that court. Actually, he hits a really good ball.
Give me the ball.
Well, he looks like an athlete. Look, at the end of the day, if Kara thinks she's not great on the basketball court, they're probably both going to win their own sport. But I'd probably guess David may be able to get a couple more points than maybe Caro a couple buckets in, if she thinks
yeah,
that better, right?
He's going to block everything. Yeah, he's 6'9". Yeah, no chance. Especially
happy wife, happy life. I don't know if he's blocked. I hope he's not. Listen. By the way, Iga said before her match that she got some intel from Caroline Wozniacki about string tension, about playing at night, and changing things up a little bit. Now they're going to face each other.
I wonder if she's going to give us some more advice before they play each other. But that's nice that the women support each other and just trying to make each other better. And yeah, I mean, you know, Iga certainly knows how to work the strings. So nice of her to share that knowledge with Caroline.
Martina, we've been talking all tournament long about the moms in the draw. We started with seven, and we are down to one. They played the baby tunes.
Well, it was only Kerber Wozniacki left, so there had to be only one. But yeah, moms are not, the baby's crying. So are the moms.
Tell you what, all these moms are playing such great tennis, though.
Exactly.
It's really beautiful to see.
It's fantastic that they're able to play.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, being a mom is not the end of your career, and that's as it should be. So now maybe more players will have the babies earlier in their career, so then they can come back and play well into the 30s and not worry about getting too old to have babies.
Yeah, I think it shows all the players exactly that, which is great, especially players of this caliber. Question is now, with Woz with a bit of momentum and so forth, can she pierce the force field that is Iga Świątek?
Probably not. Well, that's a pretty big force field. I think it's going to be closer. I don't think we'll see any breadsticks or bagels, but maybe when I said probably not, the court's too slow. But it's nice to see her playing well and loving it most of all.
Yeah. And by the way, she's called a bunch of Świątek matches when she was working with us.
She
and
so inside right. information.
That's a little right. insight, yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
Tennis Channel.
It'll give you all the info. We got a lot more still to get to here on TC Live. When we come back after a quick break, guess what? Two-time major champ Simona Halep already in Miami. She got the wild card there. Says it feels like she never left. What do our experts think? And gather around for the debate of the day. Who is the best woman yet to win a major? John Wertheim goes unstrung on this grand topic. Sweet 16. Everyone going for that crystal trophy. Players trying to survive in advance.
Let's get down to business.
We put Coco Gauff's name into the round of 16.
Hopefully I can bring the best game I can.
Fritz and Rune coming up.
Promise so much. A highly entertaining affair.
What I have to do stays the same. I need to serve well. I need to be aggressive.
Medvedev gets the win to advance. What a finish from Emma Navarro, who's through to the Sweet 16.
Always a good day to play tennis in Tennis Paradise.
Let's get down to business.
Martina Prakash, Steve, back on TC Live at Indian Wells. You can set up multiple screens to watch this event. We got you covered on T2 today. It is Mark Knowles and Paul Anacone calling these matches between Casper Ruud, Gael Monfils, Luca Nardi, the upset king, and Tommy Paul. And then Leif Shires and Tracy Austin will be on the call for the women's matches between Diane Perry, Maria Sakkari, Daria Kazatkina, and Yuan Ye. So what will it look like in the desert? It is now time for today's forecast with Fox Weather.
Hey there, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Craig Herrera, and this is today's BNP Paribas Open Tennis Forecast. How about the sunshine over Indian Wells, California, and temperatures right about 80 degrees. Enjoy it. And remember, you can download Fox Weather on the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Sounds good, Craig. When we come back, we will get Martina's take on this fast-rising Czech star who has advanced into the Indian Wells quarterfinals.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
How pretty is that? Tennis.com, the place to keep up with the action from Indian Wells and all year round. Check it out. Follow men's and women's tournament draws as well as breaking news, live scores, stats, and results. Download the tennis app or visit tennis.com today. We've got great writers telling all the stories. Every day, Leah Davidoff has your three to see, previewing the best matches of the day. And she is looking at Casper Ruud and Gael Monfils, Taylor Fritz, and Holger Rune, plus Emma Navarro and Aryna Sabalenka. See if she picked either American to win. You may be surprised. Let's get back to the action from yesterday. Stefanos Tsitsipas playing Yuri Lahechka for the third time, with the Greek winning both previous matches in three sets, Martina.
Yeah, Yuri Lahechka, the fast-rising Czech. He reminds me of Carlos Alcaraz, maybe with less flash. He's same body type, really good overall athlete, returns well, moves well, very adept at the net, just a really solid all-court game. And you see his athleticism there. Just got a really good head on his shoulders, and he took it to Stefanos Tsitsipas, attacked the backhand, was coming to the net really nicely. was 3 out of 10 in break points. Tsitsipas had 4 break points, never could break Lehechka's serve, and Lehechka just dominated every aspect. He's again attacking really well, picking his spots, and not letting Tsitsipas get set. Look at his sneak there to the net, just out of nowhere. He's at the net, even though Tsitsipas won that point. That's all she wrote, as Lehechka held serve easily in that last game, and wins the match in 2 straight sets for one of his best wins. Looking really, really, really solid. The guy's good.
He's checking up boxes this year. Got his first title earlier this year. Now his first Masters 1000 quarterfinal. You see what that means. Won his past 6 sets here at Indian Wells. So let's look at what he has been able to accomplish in 2024. That title came in Adelaide. Got his second top 5 win against Andre Rublev. And now we'll face Jannik Sinner in the quarterfinals here. It's been a quick rise for the 22-year-old. You mentioned it, Martina, but what do you like most about what you've been able to see from him? We'll get to that in a second. First, let's hear from Yuri. We'll hear from you first.
It just again looks to be long term. He's not thinking about winning now, winning tomorrow. He's thinking about what works best. How can become the best tennis player I can be? And now working with Tomáš Berdych as well as his regular coach, just checking off all the boxes. He works. You can tell he's in really great physical shape. So that's step number one. And after that, working on the technique, just improving every aspect of his game. And as he wins now, his confidence is growing. So his shots become bigger, and it's all good stuff, all good domino effect.
I think the tennis speaks for itself. You know, Martina, as you talked about, he's got such a brilliant all-round game. He's very adept at the net. We saw him attacking it a ton against Stefanos. So, you know, picking and choosing what you do based on your opponent, staying back, serving bigger, attacking the net, that's huge utility that a lot of players don't have. So he's got that in spades. In addition to that, the Tomáš Berdych, he seems to be putting all the pieces together as far as building his career in the right way. But my favorite thing about him is how even keel he is. You know, you have that win over Andre Rublev. It's easy to, you know, get hopped up on that win, but he just kind of goes back to the well, backs it up with another solid win over Stefanos Tsitsipas. He comes and sits with us on the desk here, and he doesn't seem to get too up or too down. Mm. And I think that balance, stability, and emotionality is serving him really well on the court.
Yeah, 22 years old, just kind of seems like he knows who he is. With the veteran superstar Berdych in his corner, it's been really helping him kind of see things before he sees them, which is something that he mentioned to us. You mentioned, Martina, that he reminds you of Carlos Alcaraz. Well, let's take a look at Carlitos, the returning champ here. Had his eyes on this match with Fabian Marajan ever since the Hungarian pulled off one of the biggest upsets last year in Rome.
This was a showcase. Check out this pace from Carlos Alcaraz. Sometimes he can just go big right up the middle of the court like that, and he forces errors because he's just got that explosive energy. Half volley, inside out, angle there with pace. There's just no one else that can hit these kind of shots. He's stepping into passing shots like that on the backhand side, and it was a great display here of him just doing absolutely everything well. Marozhin doing a good job here, trying to attack, but check out this defense. That scoop shot on the forehand side, dipping the backhand from low, flicking it in and around up the line. The emotion, he made his life so easy for himself by serving 84% one on the first serve, nearly 70% one on the second serve. So when he's taking care of it like that, mixing up the inside-out slice with big forehand, he's just showing you that he has all the shots and there's really no place you can attack him. Beautiful day at the office for Carlos Alcaraz.
This is his 50th Masters 1000 victory. Only Carlitos and Rafael Nadal have reached that mark before turning 21. I think sometimes we forget he's already won 2 majors, been world number one. He's only 20 years old. He's still. Carlos Alcaraz moving back into the quarterfinals here. Hasn't lost more than 3 games in a set since dropping that first set of the event. You see, certainly was able to serve incredibly well. 22 winners to just 17 unforced errors. Who looks better, Martina, right now between Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner?
50-50. I mean, I think Alcaraz at his best is better than anybody at their best. And that includes Sinner. And that includes Djokovic for me. He's just got his weapons are a little bit bigger. But Sinner's a little more solid and a little less risky kind of player. So maybe Sinner wins 3 out of 5 right now, but at their best, Alcaraz wins. And do you see the size of Alcaraz's hands? He's got massive hands. What allows him to do that little flick, that ridiculous shot, that half volley or the passing shot. Ball is this high and he can still flick it. It's his hands that allow him to accelerate so well. That forehand is just, it's a weapon of mass destruction.
It really is.
WMD.
It really is.
Do you agree at their best, 3 out of 5, that Alcaraz right now, like Martina said, better than Sinner?
Yeah, I think so. Because when you look at Yannick Sinner, I mean, look, the kid's got every shot in the book now. He's developed a lot of things that were weaknesses. He's now much more adept at the net. He's made a couple of technical adjustments to the serve. But it seems his game is still something that is a worked on and developed game. Carlos, a lot of what he does is just innate ability. He's like an artist out there. As you talked about, Martina, at his best, he comes up with shots that most of the other players don't even think to even try. So when that's working well, you know, he doesn't even know all the things that are coming out of him. And that just adds an element, which I think does, as Martina said, put him in a different category altogether.
Hope it happens. 2 wins away. Yeah. They each have to win that quarterfinal match. And then we get a semifinal showdown with two of the best to do it right now in terms of the young players. And, well, Yannick Sinner hasn't lost a match all year. More to get to here on TC Live, leading you up to first ball. All these stars hoping to get off of John Wertheim's list of best female players who haven't won a major. Martina and Prakash tell you who tops their list. Don't go anywhere. You're watching TC Live.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, it's the title no one wants. Women's edition this time. Who is the best player never to have won a major? Well, let's say this up front. There is an element of compliment here. The candidates may not have broken through yet, but the implication is that they could have, perhaps should have, and may well still do it. We can also debate definition here. Is this a reflection of present form? Because right now, you could make the case that Mira Andreeva is the best player never to have won a major. She's that good and that swollen with confidence, but come on. She's 16 and was in the juniors a year ago. Or is the best player never to have won a major someone whose career resume suggests they should have, though their best days might be behind them? No right answer. But here are some choices.
Very tough match.
Ons Jabeur has been to 3 major finals over the last 2 years. The pushback is that maybe, like Casper Ruud, that was more about overachievement than missed opportunity. Maria Sakkari is a top 10 stalwart. Pushback, she has only won 2 career titles. Jessica Pegula is a top 5 player. Pushback, she's never been beyond the quarterfinals of a major. Karolina Pliskova has been number 1 and been to multiple major finals, but the pushback here is that she's 32 and currently ranked well outside the top 20. Here is an off-ballot vote. What about another Czech sensation, Karolina Muchova? She has been to the quarters or better at each of the 4 majors. She's not only reached the Roland Garros finals last June, but nearly topped Iga Świątek. She's athletic and focused, and her biggest nemesis is not another player necessarily, but her health. And at 27, she's old enough so that there's no great pressure, but young enough that there's still time. 7 of the last 8 years, the WTA has featured a different winner at each of the 4 majors, so we can revisit this topic soon and likely have an entirely different discussion featuring entirely different candidates.
All right, thank you, John. So, of these 5, who is the best player who has not won a major? Karolina Pliskova, the only one who has been to number 1 in the world, obviously 2 major finals, at least the semifinals at every major, more titles as well, 17 of those. Ons Jabeur has been to the most major finals with three. I'll start with you, Martina. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. For me, Karolina Muchova, as having been number one, that means she was consistent
Plíšková.
Over a long period. I mean, Muchova, Plíšková, of course. Plíšková, having been number one, which means you're consistent over a period of time, and two finals as well. And she's making semi-comeback now, yeah. Playing better tennis lately, but not likely to win one, but for me, she's the one.
I think very close for me with Plíšková and Ons, but I'll go with Ons. Three Grand Slam finals, and yep. Sure, she played Iga in the final of the U.S. Open, but those Wimby finals, I think she was favored, especially against Vondrousova. I think she could have come through with that one. Heartbreaking to see her not be able to come through and still be on this list, but... I think it's on for me. And if she can get her body together, she's still got a game that's so unorthodox out there and you don't see it at all. She still makes a lot of players uncomfortable. So fingers crossed she can get nice and healthy and still be a big factor.
Jabeur has been to number two in the world. She's won five titles, quarterfinal at every major. And obviously we saw the three major finals. What does she need to do, Martina, to get over that hump?
Well, she needs to stay healthy. She's had too many health issues, and I think she still needs to get in better shape just to get a little bit quicker. She plays like Ash Barty, but Ash was a quicker athlete. Got to the balls a little bit better. So I think that's all that's missing is maybe improve her backhand a little bit, but most of all, just stay fit, stay healthy, because without that, you know, you can't get your confidence back up.
Yeah.
We saw Karolina Muchová on that list. To me, it's not even close. She has only been to eight in the world. That one major final at Roland Garros, only one title. But do you think she can break through? Has the game to break through and win one?
My favorite thing about her is the fact that her game is so dynamic. She does everything well. Even on clay, she finds a way to attack the net. She's got great skills up there, and she can make people feel uncomfortable from all different aspects of the court. Again, I just, you know, at times in matches, she can be a little fragile. She can let go of matches, which she has in her grasp. So I think it is kind of continuing to stay healthy out there. She has had injury issues also. Mm-hmm. And just continuing to be tougher in the closing parts of matches, which she was able to do in that great big run-up to the French final.
And why not Jessie Pegula, by the way? Listen, I mean, like, she's been to three in the world. She's still right up there in the top 10, looking to, you know, get past that quarterfinal stage, but has the game to
she's
do it.
She's really good at every aspect of the game, but she's not great in one aspect of the game. I mean, she just doesn't have that one big weapon. You feel like she needs help from other players because it's just too hard to beat the top players back-to-back without having a bigger weapon. So I think if I were her, I would work on my serve more than anything. And then just develop a bigger forehand.
Okay. And just perhaps shift the narrative a little bit. I mean, there is a lot of talk. She hasn't made it past the quarterfinals at a Grand Slam, but she's put up a 1,000-level title. So she is capable of beating the best in these big events. So maybe it's just getting over that hump, you know, once, and then all of a sudden the momentum builds, and you look at it as the same as the tournament she's had success in.
Let's go off the board, right?
The menu, Weissman?
Off the menu.
A little right? A la carte? Okay.
Well, a secret menu, right?
Okay.
You go to In-N-Out and you get that secret sauce that they don't put on the menu? Yeah, you don't know about it.
I do not.
To me, it was a surprise that we didn't have Madison Keys on that board. She's been to a major final, you know, won a bunch of titles. Also, you know, you could say Alina Svitolina, right? She's been to three major semifinals, three in the world. John did mention Mira Andreeva, a youngster. No, okay.
I don't know.
Shutting me down there.
It's too soon. Way too soon
right,
for her.
So off menu, who are you picking?
I was looking at the rankings. I think Caroline Garcia, you know, at her best, she has the better game than all these guys. But she won the WTA Finals a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Was looking really, really good, top five in the world, and just has not broken through. So for me, at her best, she's got the game to beat on that list, but not consistent enough.
I like that pick. I love watching Carol play. I think I'm going to pick one of the names you mentioned, Steve. I like Alina Svitolina on there. I mean, look, she's made three Grand Slam semifinals, a couple at Wimbledon, one at the U.S. Open. She's won the tour finals like Carol has done, and three in the world, too. She's got the experience, and she's playing some brilliant tennis now. She seems to be in phenomenal shape. So, you know, maybe her best tennis is still in there. And the fact that she has had three semis, she has won a tour finals, three in the world, I might call an unforced error on John Wertheim's part. John, maybe there should have been a sixth name on the list. I don't know. Just something to consider.
We had six dudes yesterday. Why didn't we have six women?
She could have been the sixth. She could have possibly been the sixth.
Gotta fight for equality again. Oh, yes, Svitolina. I mean, she's playing more aggressive tennis.
Yeah.
I think she's more relaxed because she had the baby. She's happily married. Gael is doing great as well. Yeah. So pressure's off. And I've always felt that she tightened up in the big moments, and now she's playing better in the big moments. So I think it's a possibility for her to go all the way.
I like that pick. I like it a lot. She's won the World Tour Finals. So at her best, she can beat the best players in the world. All right. Oh, what about Emma Navarro? Will she win a major? First, you know, she's got to get past one of the best to do it. Aryna Sabalenka, two-time Australian Open champ. Martina, you'll be on the call of this match.
Yes, please.
Yes, indeed. We'll talk about it later in the show. Navratilova, Amitraj Weissman back with you on TC Live. Served with Andy Roddick, new weekly series on T2. You don't want to miss it. The Hall of Famer discussing the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim and other special guests. Martina, you got to get on the show.
Who do I need to talk to about that?
I think just Andy. If you want to go from the eighth best listened to sports podcast in the country to one, you get the goat on
there. That's who you get.
Andy, let's get...
How do I get a word in edgewise between those two, though?
The layout for you. Jasmine Paolini coming in on a 7-match win streak, title in Dubai, taking on Anastasia Potapova, Prakash.
Well, she kept that momentum up in that first set, attacking nicely as she did in Dubai. She got up early, 5-3 here, but it was Potapova who fought back hard, found her way into a winning position here. Really closes things out with a nice drop shot there, but it was a different turn of events in the second set. Paolini threw out that first set out of her mind, stepped back into aggressive mode, and just wiped the floor with Potapova in that second set. No games lost, 6-love, goes into a third, but Potapova, she said she went into the bathroom, she talked to herself in the mirror, slapped herself straight and said, get it together! And she got off to a great start here in this third set, breaking early. And again, she was the one dictating play. She did have 8 double faults, so perhaps something she's got to clean up for the next round. Both players didn't do a great job on their first serve, on their second serve rather, but Potapova 72% on the first serve. Perhaps a difference today.
Joined us on the desk after the match. After that second set, how did you reset things?
Well, as I said, on the court, I went to the bathroom, I looked in the mirror, and I told to myself, right, now or never. Well, you have only one chance now, last set, and you have to at least try to show your best tennis and just fight for every point and don't really think too much about that I just lost the second set 6-love. Like, it can happen. It's okay. So, yeah, I just tried to reset my mind on the positive things and just keep fighting.
I also told her she had some In-N-Out burger after her last win.
That was a secret.
Going animal style on this draw. Third meeting of the year, rematch from San Diego between Marta Kostyuk, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Kostyuk won that one in 3, Martina. This one, not as difficult.
Yeah, Marta Kostyuk really playing confident tennis. Her coach, Sandra Janiewski, is doing a great job with her. She is finding all kinds of parts of the court, really doing a great job coming to the net and finishing off the points there. Just really playing much smarter tennis, forcing the error there from Pavlyuchenkova, and attacking a lot better, first and second serve, just playing within herself. I don't know what happened there. Pavlyuchenkova didn't even try for that shot, but I think Kostyuk just rolled on in that second set, just dominated, really played, as she said, smart tennis. And Pavlyuchenkova never had a shot at it.
How about the fact that Marta Kostyuk has made more quarterfinals this year than any other player on the WTA? This will be her 4th quarterfinal, taking on Potapova next.
Oh, another Russian.
Another Russian.
Against,
so no handshake
Ukraine,
is happening there.
Yeah.
Lost a couple times against her last year. What does Kostyuk need to do to flip the script?
I think just don't think about those losses. Learn from them and hopefully have a better game plan again with her coach. I think she will have a better game plan. And she just seems really committed. She's a good athlete, moves well, and she's starting to believe in her game. I think when you have clarity of mind, what you want to do, when you have a plan A or if not plan B, you know what you need to be doing out there. It helps you commit to your shots and clear the clutter in your mind. So I think that she will have a good game plan, and we'll see if she can execute it.
Like, the biggest thing after you've had a couple losses to a player is you want to come in, and even if you lose, you don't want to go out the same way. Right. You want to bring that different
learn
strategy.
Learn from the losses.
Learn from the losses. Bring something different, and try to make your opponent uncomfortable. I do think Potapova just has a little bit more of an all-round game, a little bit more power all over. So perhaps Kostyuk can bring in a few elements of attacking the net. Maybe bring her in a little bit, and again, just a different strategy.
This will be an interesting matchup. Kostyuk's at her career high, 27 in the live rankings. Potapova right behind her at 29. So looking forward to that quarterfinal on the women's side. Let's check in on some doubles action here in the desert. Yvonne Dodig, Austin Krajicek taking on Wesley Kulhoff and Nikola Mektic, Prakash.
Well, four exceptional doubles players here who have all been doing very well on the doubles court over the last 4 or 5 years, and some like Yvonne Dodig even longer than that. Kulhoff Mektic up 5-3 early in that first set, closed things out 6-4. Now, match point up, and Krajicek coming up with a huge cross to be able to save match point. And not only that, they were able to push this thing into a high break after this. Missed lob there from Kulhoff. I love the match tie break in doubles. Lots of energy. Everything comes down to the line. Big, big, big high stakes. Big forehands here from Kulhoff and Dodig. It was Krajicek, though, just a little bit too antsy, trying to get the cross there. And at the end of it, Kulhoff Mektic able to close things up with a nice cross there. Angle from Mektic.
10-7 in that match tiebreak. Let's look at the draw. We are into the final four in the men's doubles. Grenoyer Zabaios taking on the Italian duo of Bolelli and Vavasori. You see, the Germans and the Italians, they're getting ready to play Olympic tennis, Martina.
Yeah, I guess that's why you see Simon Bolelli still playing. He's hoping for an Olympic medal because he's not playing singles anymore. And it's a nice way to stay in the game if you can play singles, get some doubles in, and maybe win a major or win a medal at the Olympics.
Asia Muhammad and Ashiba Hara taking on Coco Gauff and Jessie Pegula in the women's double.
Yeah, seeded fifth, Pegula and Coco Gauff. But Ashiba Hara and Muhammad came out, really were more active at the net, particularly in Ashiba Hara. She was all over the court, all over the net, really disrupting the rhythm of the Americans. Well, they're all Americans. But Shihabara, to me, she was the jock out there, just really active. And Muhammad Shihabara win the match in two sets. It's a big upset.
They haven't dropped a set on their way to the semifinals. Going to take on Storm Hunter, Katerina Siniakova next.
They're active and they got the size as well. So they're moving well and they're moving a lot and they know how to play doubles. So I'm expecting their ranking to go up this year.
Absolutely. By the way, the former UCLA Bruin, Ashiba Hara, just won her first pro singles title at a 25K in Spring, Texas last week. So it's still trying to play. I mean, every aspect. I love that. Going down to Texas, play 25K. Now she's up here, semifinals of a 1,000-level event.
Makes herself as good a tennis player as she can be.
Love that.
That's what it's about.
Still to come here on TC Live, we've got our FanDuel match preview, breaking down this one between Taylor Fritz and Holger Rune. Who do the odds favor? We'll let you know.
This is a special Bloomberg report for Tennis Channel. Falling mortgage rates spur home purchases as 30-year fixed rates drop below 7% for the first time in a month. Adidas disappointing investors after sharing a bleak outlook for 2024. Sales at the company fell last year after canceling its Yeezy collaboration with rapper and designer Yee. And Dollar Tree plans to close 1,000 stores as the discount retailer looks to boost its bottom line. In New York, I'm Yahaira Jaquez for Bloomberg.
All right, thank you so much. We've got four separate matches available on T2 today. Coming up top of the hour, Casper Ruud taking on Gael Monfils. Luca Nardi taking on Tommy Paul. That'll be Mark Knowles and Paul Anacone on the call. And then Leif Shiras and Tracy Austin hop in the booth to call these matches tonight. 6 Eastern, Diane Perry facing the Greek star Maria Sakkari. And can Dasha Kazatkina get to the final eight here against Yuan Ye? Time for our FanDuel match of the day. It's a good one. Taylor Fritz, Holger Rune, and second match between these two. Fritz won in Miami last year in straight sets, so he is the favorite coming in. Pretty decent favorite here, Prakash. What do you think of the odds?
I like the courts here for Taylor, and that match in Miami last year was a fairly comfortable win for Taylor. I think I'm going with the American.
Either one, Martina, get 10 or more aces. that was the side bet.
Well, I would bet on Taylor to get that bet. Okay. But I agree with Prakash. I think Taylor, he loves this court, he loves the crowd, and has good confidence having won here a couple of years ago. So I think I like him for that one as well.
He also, let's look at the way he's played the last couple of rounds. You know, I mean, even that last round, he looked very comfortable. And he doesn't even feel like he's playing his best tennis yet. So if that's the case, the one thing that's really working well for him that he talked about is his serve. So if he's lacing up the serve, I think he's going to have a bit of an edge there against Rune. And again, Rune's still kind of finding his way a little bit. He's had that coaching carousel, you know, shake up where he took out Becker, he put Patrick back in. So he's still trying to find that rhythm where he's in just that state of winning as he was not too long ago. So just overall, confidence-wise, momentum-wise, Taylor's coming in off that title of defending Delray Beach. So I think the American's just in a good spot. Got that crowd energy. He's won here before. Lots of things going for him.
Yep.
He hasn't dropped a set. Rune has only played one match, by the way, against Lorenzo Musetti. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Well, it is time to see what's trending on social media. Martina, we have not had you discuss Simona Halep yet since her suspension was reduced from 4 years to 9 months served. Guess what? First opportunity to play, and she took advantage, got the wild card in Miami. She's already there.
Yeah, as a major winner, you get the wild cards anytime you want them, and that's how it should be. And I'm so happy to see her back. I'm so glad that this fine was reduced. And, I don't like the system. You're guilty until proven innocent. It's the opposite of every other court in the world. But really happy for her to have the chance to come back.
Yeah, look, a lot of people would be so easy to caught up in the time you get missed. But she's a champion, and you can't be a champion without staying in the now. So I think she's probably just so happy that she's back out on the court now. And she's going to focus on what she does, which is getting out there and winning and being a brutal out for anyone that faces her.
Yeah, I mean, as a wild card, she could face one of those top seeds early in the tournament.
Yeah, the seeds are going to be looking at the draw. It's like, who wants exactly. her in the first
Nobody.
Round, second round? Nobody. She could have had a baby in this break. We're talking about the mothers, 18 months, but she didn't know. She was fighting it. And that's the thing. It takes so much energy just to clear your name, exonerate yourself. So again, I would not want to see her in the draw because she's going to be so thrilled to be back on the court.
You know who we want to see, Prakash, tomorrow? Martina, back with us on TC Live.
Oh, yes. Yes, please. Yes.
Back for another day.
Joining us, beautiful.
Martina's going to head to the booth. Chanda and Lindsay.
It's an all-woman's match in every way.
in every single way.
All right. I'm ready.
Looking forward to your call of that one. Behind the scenes there with Andre Rublev as Emma Navarro and Aryna Sabalenka. Not too long from walkouts. About 5 minutes away. We'll be back on TC Live to break down all the matches in a moment.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
There they are, walking to the golf cart to take themselves inside Stadium 1. Emma Navarro and Aryna Sabalenka first up today. But first, we have our hot shot of the day, Prakash, and it comes from this match.
A little bit of everything. Little defense on that forehand chip. Dip down with a backhand pass. Now, this is just off the floor. Sliding with that open leg. Such a strong right leg here. But it's that little flick right at the end. Off that open stance. Not only gets up and over the net, but around his opponent, Marozhin. Marozhin can't believe it. Carlos lets out the belly of a roar.
Apparently, it's because he's got big hands. Martina, a big hand, he's able to do that.
She broke it down. Michael Jordan, same thing. Yep. That's why he was able to, do all those moves, because he palmed the ball so well.
The iconic poster with the two balls he's palming.
Correct.
All right, here's our order of play, starting with Navarro and Sabalenka. Then we got Coco Gauff, birthday girl, taking on Alisa Mertens. Daniil Medvedev and Grigor Dimitrov. Low-key, one of the best matches of the day. Taylor Fritz, Holger Rune. They're all good, Prakash. Let's start, though. Going off menu, Tommy Paul taking on Luca Nardi. So Luke is coming off biggest win of his life, takes out Novak Djokovic. If you're Tommy Paul, you're thinking, I was getting ready for Djokovic. Now I don't really know this other guy.
Well, I look, pros and cons for Luka right now. Luka, life can't get any better than this moment. But also, listen, you're still in the tournament. This is a great opportunity to keep moving forward. It is just so tough not to have a letdown. And this is a guy who hasn't been consistently playing at this level. You know, he's still outside the top 100. He'll certainly move in after this event. But he's lost to players in the 300s, the 400s over the last couple of months in challengers. So I don't think he's used to the air up here. This was a miraculous win that he had. Beautiful, but I like Tommy to come out comfortably in straight sets. He's been playing some serious ball.
He has, Prakash. Also 9-1 on American soil this year. So TP, definitely the favorite in that one. Then we got the birthday girl, Coco Gauff, taking on Elisa Mertens. Coco has beaten her on hard court, beaten her on clay, beaten her on grass, looking to beat her in the desert.
I think she's going to keep it going. Coco still hasn't found her best tennis yet. I actually look at that as a positive. If she's not playing her best tennis and still working her way into the tournament, that's what we've seen the greats do over the generations here in tennis. So I think Coco's finding her way to do that now, being the great champion that she is, getting over the hump and winning that U.S. Open last year. So I'm looking for a slightly better performance today. And all those little victories that you mentioned, I'm just looking for her to add another one to the kitty.
And hopefully we get to talk to her, and we got to get her a cake. Cupcake, something,
you
right?
You know, sing, Weissman. I'm planning on singing, so you know we should you know be able to bring the noise on a little duet.
I hope you know which birthday song we're singing. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Right, we'll do a little research, figure out which one you're talking about there.
the real. There's Emma Navarro walking out onto the court. What does she need to do? By the way, most wins on tour this year to take out Sabalenka.
She's coming in all-time high confidence. Best time to be able to play the best in the world. She's got to be able to bring the noise on her forehand. In the last couple of rounds against Cyrenko and Svitolina, especially against Svitolina, she was able to get a lot of first serves in, and then it's that 1-2 punch. Her forehand is a massive weapon out there. She's got to be able to keep it up, dominate, and try to take that middle of the court with that forehand.
Looking forward to this one. We're going three wide in the booth. Chanda Rubin, Martina Navratilova, Lindsay Davenport. Prakash and I will be on the desk all day long to get you updates and interviews with your favorite stars. Thank you so much for joining us on TC Live, and enjoy a big day of tennis here in the desert.